Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Those that lack Jesus in their hearts are missing out on a whole lot of things. Over the years, I've learned so much. There are those that believe, there are those that don't. They believe in one thing when they should be believing in the Word of God. And most of the times, they miss the boat big time. I've learned so much from the Lord. This morning, I have a subject that's very seldom covered anymore, either for fear, lack of understanding, sometimes because of both. The subject matter this morning is the day of Christ, the rapture of the church. These are words of comfort, encouragement, and assurance. Saints, you and I are no longer children of wrath. Screen one, if you would, Doc, I would refer you to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Who were. Dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 and 1. Ephesians 2 and 2. "Wherein, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Verse 5, "When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." You and I are no longer children of wrath, as I said before. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5, which tells us, "Ye are children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." You would find that in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5. Glory be to God. Had it not been for that, we would still be in darkness. We'd be walking around in darkness and teaching darkness, and this world would even be worse. And look at the nature of this and condition of this world today. Why is that? Mentions Philippians, the first chapter, verse 10. "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ." Philippians 1 and 10. Till the day of Christ. That speaks of nothing less than the rapture. The next one would be Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ." Those words are important, and I'll explain down the road why. "That I may rejoice in the day of Christ," the rapture. "That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." The next chapter would be in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 2. "That ye may not soon shaken mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." There again, the day of Christ. Those words are important. The last one would be 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 1 and 8. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, Paul called us children of wrath. Because prior to knowing Christ, everyone was under the judgment of God. Children of wrath. Because of original sin, we were all born with a sin nature. fulfilling the lust of the flesh and sinning against God. We all deserve. Now, the key word here is deserved, not deserve, deserved. We all deserved God's wrath. Known as, notice the difference, known as the day of the Lord. The day of Christ the rapture, the day of the Lord, the day of wrath. God is just, and his just response to our sins is condemnation. Thankfully, God is also merciful. And he did not leave us in a pitiful condition. He never does. Jesus Christ, this is what's important. He died on the cross to pay for our sins so that anyone who accepts his gift of grace will never have to pay the wages of sin, which is death. In Romans 6 and 23, it reads, for the wages of sin, we're all familiar with this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. If everyone was a child of God from birth, then neither the sacrifice of Christ nor adoption by God would be necessary. Look at it that way. The truth is that only those who have been born again, born of the Spirit, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are the children of God. Period. Screen 3, if you would, Doc. Galatians 4, 6 through 7. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now when the Bible speaks of son, it also speaks of daughter. Keep that in mind. Therefore, although we're all creations of God, only those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, Christians, are God's children. Plain and simple. The law, as good as it was and as good as it is even today, is not applicable because if you stay focused on Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, the law you will soon follow because of Jesus Christ. I used to have a problem with that back in the past. I didn't understand the difference between the law of Moses and Christ. Meaning the law of Christ, of course. If we stay with the law, you'll never make it. And I'll tell you why. When you follow the law, you have to follow the law verbatim. If you miss out on just one iota, nothing else matters. It's just like the old saying, if I get Jesus wrong, nothing else matters. If you get Jesus wrong, you got a problem. We all have a problem. That's the condition of this nation today and the world for that matter. And what's even worse, Israel has a problem. We as a nation were founded on a Christian basis. No matter what anybody tells you, it's in writing. It's in the Declaration of Independence. It's in a lot of the speeches that George Washington gave us. Almost word for word, even today, the Lord confirmed a few things. I loved George Washington, and there was another one, another president. I forget his name now, but they were Christians. When you stay focused on the Lord, and here's the key, which is seldom preached anymore. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We preach that. If I'm wrong, so be it. I'll suffer the consequences. But I don't think that I'm wrong because I'm getting it right out of the book, the Word of God. Jesus Christ and him crucified. One of my very, very favorites, and I may be redundant in this, where the Apostle Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. That simple. And we missed the boat. the condition of the United States, the lack of a better word, is demonic. It is evil. And why? Go to a motel now. Open the doors like in the past. You want to get some rest? I want to read the Bible. You won't find one. Why? It'll insult somebody. Go to the hospital. And that really burns me up. There used to be Bibles, New Testaments, magazines about Jesus, magazines about the Lord, magazines about church. You won't find one. Why? It may insult somebody. Yet they're willing to burn flags and anything else that's evil, and we have to condone it, because if we don't, then we're racist and we're bigots and we're this and we're that. Well, call me whatever you will. I will stand on the Word of God no matter what. I may preach to one person, two people, 1,000, 500. The message will be the same, just like it is today. A handful that we got. But trust me. I trust the Lord. I could have given up a long time ago. I'm 77, as I said before. I could sit down in the chair, watch TV all day long and be bored. I could start up my little tractor and go out there and play around, play little games. I stay with the Word. Lord, lead me. Welcome, Holy Spirit. I don't care who I insult. Those that will be insulted don't belong to the family. Those are the ones that we want to draw in by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, most churches are not preaching that either. You know how I know? Because of the condition of the country. If we were preaching the Word and we were preaching about the Holy Spirit, we would not be in this mess. We wouldn't. I don't care what anybody tells you. They're wrong. Jesus is right. It's that simple. So our answer rests on the cross. On the cross. Never forget that. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, you don't have to go there, Doc. Paul is recounting the desperate state of his readers prior to their salvation. We were all, regardless of creed, race, nationality, wealth, or status, dead in our offenses and sins. Nowhere does it say only for Mexicans. Nowhere does it say only for blacks. Nowhere does it say only for whites, Chinese. He says, in our offenses and sins. Our. Following this grim discovery of the human condition, Paul writes in Ephesians 2 and 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, which is even worse, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Were. The minute you say yes to the Lord, you become born again. Now you're not a were. You are a child of God. Period. Paul's main point is clear. Every Christian was once a child of wrath. Every Christian was once a child of wrath. It's in the Bible. You are no longer. In Paul's culture, referring to someone as a child of, something in the metaphorical sense meant that particular something thoroughly characterized that person. For example, when Paul urges Christians to live as children of light, or as people defined by their association with the truth and holiness of Christ. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, as unbelievers, we were children of wrath, the very thing that distinguished us from God's wrath. Our destiny was separation from God, and we deserved it. The phrase by nature in Ephesians 2 and 3 emphasizes the fallen state we were in from birth. We were in from birth. The question is, where did the wrath of God go? Our answer is simple. To the cross. That's simple. For us, it's simple. For Christ, it was not. I can only imagine. But he was willing to do that because it was the only way that we could avoid the upcoming event, the wrath. Many are under the impression that we all will suffer the wrath. That doesn't make sense. It would serve no purpose. When it's real simple, what does salvation mean? What does save mean? Not only does it mean that salvation is that we one day will be glorified, we will be in heaven with the Lord, it also means that you're going to be saved from the wrath. The wrath is punishment for disobedience. We're not disobedient, we're following the Lord. This is where the church sometimes makes the mistake, falters and confuses the child of God. We're all going to suffer. No, sir, we're not. We are not. What would be the purpose of your salvation if he's going to put you through the disobedient ones? Does it make any sense? Of course not. I have read and read and read and gone before the Lord. Lord, I do not want to preach something that I don't understand. Give me the clearance. Clear my mind. I've been doing this for a long time. I've had a lot of practice. But sometimes, I'll read another little verse, and I say, whoa, wait a minute. The Lord tells me in my heart, you preach what you read. You leave the worrying to me. You don't worry about that. You worry about delivering my word, and that's what I do. Sometimes people get upset at me. So be it. They also get upset with me for not preaching the word according to their level of understanding or their level of understanding Christianity. And Christianity is real simple. We are followers of Christ. If we follow Christ, why would he say, go through and show me just how great you are and you're going to go through the tribulation? For what purpose? Some say, well, for the preaching of the gospel. Well, if they didn't get it before, why in the world would they get it now? The ones that will be left, one day we're going to, some people, I was going to say we and not me. Somebody's going to wake up and say, where's the rest of the people? Where's my brother? Where's my sister? Where's my father? Where's my uncle? Where's my aunt? Then, and only then, will these people understand. Hopefully. But what's the reason for the wrath? Disobedience. What's the reason for life eternal? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing confusing about that at all. And as I said to the Lord, Lord, if I'm wrong in what I'm preaching, if I'm preaching the wrong message, show me, teach me, because the last thing I want to do is report to you one day and say, Lord, forgive me, I said the wrong thing, and look at Johnny Boy over here went this way, and Johnny Boy went that way because of what I said. I'll be to blame. And so will every other preacher that does not preach according to what the Word says. This is not a world about how great we are, how popular we can be, how life is so sweet. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not sweet. Unless you walk with the Lord, then it becomes sweet. You know how I know? Been there, done that. It wasn't sweet even when I had all the money I could spend. It wasn't sweet when I had all the time on vacations. I don't take vacations. I really don't. When we do is to see my mother that's 100 years old and she thinks just like we do. Praise God. Thanks be to God, he did not leave us in a hopeless state. Remember this. Thanks be to God, he did not leave us in a hopeless state. He stepped in and saved us, redeeming us from the great trouble we created. Jesus died on the cross, taking our sins upon himself, and then rose again, defeating death. We're going to be doing the same thing in his glory. All thanks to God. We have nothing to do with it. All we need to do is stay focused on the Lord. Anyone who comes to him will be saved. Romans 10:9-13. Because of God's gift, we are no longer children of wrath, but children of God. Because of God's gift, we are no longer children of wrath, but children of God. So if you're a child of God, how in the world could you expect the upcoming wrath for you to partake in it? adopted into his family and given eternal life with him. Galatians 3:26 through 29 and 1 John 3:1 through 3. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now listen to this one. Carefully. This is the message. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9. Paul marvels at the magnitude of what God has done for us. Former children of wrath. Former. That means we were, now we're not children of wrath. We're children of God. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order, now listen to this part, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Now, saint, the message is quite clear. We're not going to suffer the wrath. It would not make any sense. Only the wrath is designed, and the Lord put it together for those that are in disobedience. Not for all of us. If you're in disobedience, then you would probably undertake and be a part of the wrath. If we want to see revival in America, folks, God must breathe new life into a lifeless church. I see many. That can only happen when we as Christians are seeking the Lord, repenting of sin, and asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit and abundant life. And I see very little of that too. We have all kinds of excuses. I've seen them all. I've gone through many, many different churches. Well, we don't preach this because our congregation isn't into it. Well, we don't preach that because we don't want to offend somebody. Now listen carefully. But we're willing to disobey our Lord, be disobedient, and make a mockery out of the cross. I don't do that. And when I do, I'm humble enough to go before the Lord, forgive me, Father, for I sinned against you. And I do that a lot, by the way. A lot. I'm certainly not perfect. But I certainly know and understand that when I've said something that didn't make sense or was wrong, that I immediately should go before my Father in heaven and say, Father, forgive me. Correct me. And I'm always doing that. Father, if I've done something wrong, please correct me. I do not want to fail you. I do not, of all things, want to hurt you, disappoint you. I want to remain obedient. And I try to walk in the Spirit. And that's not easy to do sometimes. I bite my tongue a lot. I used to be the type of guy that if you said something stupid to me, I didn't like it. I was ready to combat. Like a ninja. But thank God the ninja in me now is much different. The ninja in me now is Christ our Lord. The Holy Spirit makes me a ninja. And I got a t-shirt from a sister, Regina. Not a t-shirt, but a place. She says, it reminds me of you. And that made me cry. I said, Lord, I've touched someone. Because of you, I try to walk in the Spirit. And as I said, it's not easy. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass. Listen to this, folks. Please listen to it. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And it shall come to pass in the last days. If you don't believe that we're in the last days, buddy, you're in la-la land. Saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall all prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Where's the church today? Let me tell you how politicians, and I know who they are. I'm told, don't preach about the politicians. Why not? They're sinners. They're the worst bunch. They're taking you to the cleaners because you're a bigot. We had a man in the White House that made it twice. He was black, and he's complaining about how prejudiced we are. Now, that's unfortunate. But when the words hope and change come to America came out of his mouth, that was the ding, ding bell in me. Uh-oh. Why change something that works? You're complaining about what America is like and that we're a prejudiced country, and you're black and you're the president. Now, if that makes any sense, then you better read your Bible. I preach that too. Well, you're not supposed to preach that. Why not? These people talk down at us, tell us how stupid we are, and then if you really think about it, he's right. They're ripping us apart. They're taking all our money, all our rights, all our freedoms, and then stepping up to the podium and dais and say, we have never been in this nation so mad because of racism. Every word that comes out of their mouth came from La Raza. And Maria knows who they are. The race card. That's the easiest way to tumble us so that are white. Oh, I'm not racist. I'm not a bigot. Well, when they tried that on me, it didn't work. This before I knew I was Scandinavian. Why do I say this? Because politicians, for some reason, the ones that we pay, the ones that we hire, the ones that we elect, supposedly, are telling us what to do when it should be in reverse. They work for us. And look what they've done to this nation, the best nation in the universe. People are dying to get here. If it's such a bad nation, why is that happening? I can take you all the way back when I was under the assumption that we were Hispanics. We lived in little towns where there was segregation. Yes, there was. But it wasn't purposely. It wasn't done because the whites were prejudiced. I don't recall ever being called a Mexican and all these other things. They said, I was a kid. You want a job? Yeah. 7, 8 years old. Take these sales and pass them out for the theaters, let's say. Get yourself a group of little kids, your friends, your circle of friends, pass them all out. And then here, you give each one of them these little tickets that'll give you a movie, a soda, and a popcorn. I was thrilled to pieces. There was a white guy. But he never belittled us. He never said, I'm doing this because you're Mexicans or I'm doing this. No, he knew I liked the work. Why am I saying this? Because it's a nature of this country, work. From day one, a nation that created jobs, and all under Christianity. Don't ever bite into the fact that we've never been or that we are today a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. The Declaration of Independence, I can give it to you again, the Constitution. The Bible speaks, and we are the greatest nation, but look at where we are at tonight. Or today, the Lord is sitting or standing looking at us. My children, what have you done to this nation? Well, you know, the politicians told us this. Yeah, who are the politicians? Stop to think about it for a minute. Who are these politicians? Usurpers. That's what they are. And I'm not afraid to say it. I've said it before in D.C. and I've said it again everywhere. These people are not Americans, or they would be thinking like we do. That we were and we are, in fact, a Christian nation. We follow God. George Washington told us, and there was quite a few other presidents in their speeches. They spoke of the Bible. They spoke of Jesus Christ and the greatest nation in the world because of that. As we come to the close this morning, I know that I get carried away, but it's really not me. I'd like to say that it's of the Holy Spirit. Because it is not being preached anymore. It's just not. I'm not afraid to insult somebody by using the word. No, I wouldn't dare insult anyone without concern to the Bible. In other words, I've heard, you insulted me. How did I do that? Well, you said this, this, and that. No, I didn't do it. It says it right here in the Scriptures.
I didn't say it. I was just repeating what I was told to say. If it insults you, then you're the one that's got the problem, not me. This is why the church will not preach the Word of God and Him crucified. It's an insult to somebody. Yet, we allow, now listen to this, we allow other people that don't even belong in this nation, much less have any rights, we allow them by freedom of speech to stomp on our flag, burn our flag, and get away with it because that's their right. Burn theirs, you broke the law. Now think about it for a minute. I'm not lying to you. I was out in Antifa. I was shocked when I saw the last name Garza in there. One of them is a Garza. I was, what? It's not the Garzas I know. We're all Christians. Well, this one had a lot of problems, but lots of money. Bringing in millions through this Antifa stuff. What are they here to do? Burn buildings, cause havoc. But don't you dare you do it as a Christian. Look what they're doing to Trump. And I don't want to bring in the name Trump, but I have to. He's one of the only few that will stand up. Then I thought about it. Lord, why Trump? Doesn't the name Trump ring a bell? Of course it does. He's part of bringing the message in his way, but nonetheless a message that's equivalent, close by, to the Word. He believes in what he's doing, and I believe what he's doing is right. Don't preach about politics. Let me tell you something else as I close. When I heard this COVID business going around, I said, uh-oh. Then they're going to try to attack me at the hospital. You're going to have this or else. Or else what? I don't get paid for coming here. I come here because the Lord sent me here to the hospital. I'm not going to take no jab. Period. What are you going to do, fire me? I'll find another place to go out and pray for people. I'll pray from home, right next to my bed. I'll pray from home for the sick, probably more powerful. So before I get to the hospital, I'm always, Lord, be with me, Father. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the strength, the power, the wisdom, the knowledge to preach to these people and the ones that are sick, Father God. Point them out to me. Point them out to me. Needless to say, no jab for me. No jab for my wife. The ones that have taken the jab, they got sick. Why do I say this? It's because my faith is strong. I try to walk in the Spirit, and so should we all. Without walking in the Spirit, you're weak. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I preached on this very topic. Part-time Christians cannot fight against full-time demons. We can't. We can't. Why do you suppose, and I use this in closing, in the Marine Corps, before you become a Marine, you're a boot. For 13 weeks, we trained hard. It was not a picnic, and it was in July in San Diego. That ought to tell you something, how hot it was. Training. Then after the 13 weeks, we got a week or two off, I forget what it was, and then you're going into YTR, Infantry Training Regiment, where they teach you more about hand-to-hand combat, your weapons, your K-bar, your bayonet, grenades, things as such. My point is this, that before you become a Marine, you are trained, well trained. And I remember these words. You will never again in your life be this strong. You will never again in your life be this powerful. Don't ever forget it. If you continue doing what you're doing now, you may or may not get close enough, but you won't be the same. And they were right. I'm saying that to make a point. You don't read a couple of verses in the Bible and say, okay, I know. You dig. You pray. Lord, Lord, Lord. I'm not ashamed to say it either. Sometimes I go into tears. Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do. And my prayer is always, 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 including Israel. God made this nation to be an ally to Israel. And don't ever, ever forget that. The minute you do, you're divorcing yourself from the Word. Why do you suppose this nation became such a powerful nation?
when we believed. That's what we're preaching today. The wrath has nothing to do with us Christians. We are obedient. We are obeying the Lord. We love the Lord. Why in the world would a merciful God punish us and say, well, just because you love me, I want you to prove it to me again. He knows we can't prove it no more. We've already done it. How? By staying focused on Him. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. That's what we do today. The wrath, no matter what you hear from anyone else, if they feel that I'm wrong, whoever hears this word and want to contact me, tell them to. I'll sit down with them. I won't debate, but I'll show them in Scripture. I will not debate. I'll make that very clear. I'm not into arguing about God's word. We need to change things a little bit, or maybe a whole lot. We do not focus on the Lord anymore. We focus on other things. And when we do that, we become distracted. When we become distracted by the world will grab you. It's tried it to me and recently tried it again and again and again. So I say, well, people don't want to hear the word, Lord. They don't want to hear the word that He says. Can you leave that up to me? And I do. Sometimes we get a lot of people. Sometimes we don't. But like I was telling, I think it was Maria earlier, those that listen here will talk about it to someone else, and that someone else will talk to somebody else. That's what OCS ministry does to begin with. So whether I draw crowds or not, it gives me a pretty good reading as to where we are. What do they want to hear? About how great they are. What a wonderful thing they're doing. What a nice thing I did yesterday. What a nice thing I'm going to do tomorrow. So where's the Lord in all this? What is He doing? He's the one that's giving you the energy, the inspiration, filling you with His Holy Spirit so that you can pursue that dream. The whole point to this is we close now. The difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. Somewhat different. The day of Christ is when He comes and takes His church. Remember, if you believe in the resurrection, and most do, that you should believe in the rapture, and some don't. They are two words meaning the same thing. They are. I've looked it up and come to the same conclusion. If you believe in the resurrection, then you should believe in the rapture because they're synonymous. They're the same. First, the ones that are dead in Christ will rise. Then we, believers, who are still alive, will follow. But the rapture first. The day in the Lord is different. When you hear the words, day of the Lord, equals to the wrath. Now, it's when Israel also would be punished. It will be brought to its knees and given the last chance before it's over. And we're very close to it, folks. That's what we preach. We're very close to the day of Christ, and we're obviously very close to the day of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the word, Father God, that You gave us today. We thank You, Father God, for all the healings that are taking place as we partake in this message this morning, Father God. Those that need healing, Father God, touch them in a mighty, mighty way by the power of Your Holy Spirit, whether they're here or not, Father God. You are there with them. Heal them, Lord. Bring healing upon them, Father God. Also those, Father God, that need to come close to You, that need to be saved, touch them in a mighty, mighty way, Father. That whether it's through this message or somebody else's message, that they submit to You, Father God, and become a born-again child of God, that would be more than pleasing to You, I know, Father. I thank You, Father God, for allowing me this opportunity to share Your word with those here at the congregation this morning. And I know it's going to get somewhere, Father. We thank You, Father God, for touching us today, for loving us, and for the mercy that You show us each and every morning, every day. We thank You, Father. We love You. We praise You and we worship You. And thank You for Jesus and what He did at the cross. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.